He's going in as executive vice president of some company on the board, and is very pleased with that. I think he, you know, if he had all his drivers, he'd rather stay on as science advisor to the president and build the science advisor role. I think he recognizes the trend, and he knows that he was given other opportunities. He appreciated that. We will be using him as a outside science guy on mission type things and that sort of thing. He's got a stature that we can utilize.
Good.
He's done all the good people in government, and that's why he was outbreak without pushing in. And he's understood what the problems were and dealt with.
Percy put up a position in the 10th of the 10 that voted against the 8 of them were hawks, and they were pissed off because Percy put it up.
the person said when he talked to you.
That's not true.
And I say, that person said it when he said it.
Well, because then that word now, which they were pissed off at too.
But
whatever the reason is, this person is not, you're missing my point totally. The reason is that which we run into, and it's not fair because Henry has 12% in Goldwater and I have 2. But the problem is, and it's true, that every time they say, he having breakfast with Mansfield, and Henry sitting in Mansfield, or Percy, or Fulbright, we get into space. It's not Henry's fault, and somebody does see him. But on the other hand, they have at the present time, I just think that if you just.
But just to get it straight, I haven't talked to Percy, either personally or on the telephone. Percy called up Colonel Kennedy.
He quoted something.
It's a total lie. Percy called up Colonel Kennedy while I was in transit from Palm Springs and said,
remember you told me,
and said he was trying to keep things and on an even keel.
I know that. I remember telephone call that too. So my whole point is, though, that the Mansfield thing would be the straw that breaks Tom Campbell's back if they see that, and we don't do it. So, Ford, you can totally trust. I frankly, I go for it. I said, no, I trust him, Vicky. I would talk about the international supervisory machinery or something, the same thing you're doing.
If I do it, why doesn't Ford then bring Adams along?
Why?
I don't care. I'd be glad to do it.
No, it should be just the two. Because there, if they bring Adams, you're not going to bring it.
Oh. You think I should talk to them together?
Yeah, I think it keeps it's otherwise you've got that. If you see Scott alone, you should never see Scott alone. You can always see Ford alone, you can see Albert alone, like Barbie too. They'll keep it. But Scott is a goddamn leader. But if you see Scott with somebody else, then he knows that he's being restrained.
I'll do it.
I'm just thinking.
No, but that's the thing.
All I would do, and I'm thinking very brief, I've covered the thing, all that can be said here.
But I have not talked to Percy by phone or in any other way since when I told you the day before Christmas he called me.
Nobody's.
Nobody is
raising this point. I'm simply saying that. Down there, and perhaps we need a stronger man than Timmons on the job, I guess, or something. But down there, they got the impression that the hawks are not being talked to, and the people that have kicked us in the ass are. Now, what I want to do is to get it turned around. Part of this problem is that Rogers is that way. Rogers talks to Fulbright and Symington and Mansfield and so forth and so on. And Laird only one ever talks to a hawk. Now, in fairness, I know, after all, you talked to Goldwater at my suggestion, you know, he was gone, but I talked to Goldwater.
But I saw Goldwater last night.
You also saw Stennis, didn't
you? I talked to Stennis twice.
If you put down sort of so that you could have it for that, you ought to say you have talked to Stennis. Anybody else?
I talked to Goldwater once.
Tower? Did you talk to Tower?
No, didn't talk to Tower.
Jesus, man, I've got, you don't need to know. I covered it well this morning. They'll
stand up. Was that he came in when he came back from his trip. It was
and
the day before Christmas and reported about his trip. We didn't discuss Vietnam at all.
No.
And to tell me that he was going to be 100% behind you. Then he called, and I told you about it right away. He then called. The only thing I saw of this resolution was that Colocolos, or whatever his name is, Colocolos, showed me the resolution. He didn't tell me who it was from and said, do I object to it? I said no, and that's all I knew about the resolution, but I never talked to Percy at all, in any context, about the resolution, about anything else, except the day
before Christmas,
and reported on his trip and complained.
What I can't think is that Percy is brokering the fact that he, you see, it goes back to other things. this. I think you should have, you've done it all just right. But my point is, I think I just want to pay on over the other side.
Pay on?
I had to get enough.
How do people?
Put orderly on saying we wanted a resolution. So,
How do people start today?
See them together.
Today.
I think it'd be better today, I really do. And incidentally, just as well, Mansfield is not being the great saintly gentleman as he always has been a son of a bitch. And I wouldn't give Mansfield much more. He's had enough. I had breakfast with him.
I won't give him. I'll give him a lot of.
I can give him a lot of international machinery.
I'll give him a lot of belonging. But unless the really what the country is doing this week is so treasonable, so unpatriotic, I mean, why they can't wait till February 1st? There is no rational reason for them a week before we go into negotiation to keep behaving.
We thought they were determined. I know, but they are determined for two reasons. One reason is they want to be ahead in case something works. That's always been the case. Even though they don't want to be ahead on a bug-out basis. And the other reason is that they obviously have got a good hook in the sense that they know where our hands are tied. We can't tell them why we've done without putting in a position where we force the enemy back to the continent, which is exactly what's happened. But you can't say that.
They know damn well that's what it is. That's what's.
Well, I put it. The story of responsibles are saying they don't know why he did the bombing. They've got to know
what
they mean. The way that I put it this morning, I didn't go as far as you're talking to me or you're delivering, but I just let me tell you what's happening in Vietnam. I said, on May, I ordered the bombing in North Vietnam, the mining of Haiphong and Hanoi, until three conditions were met: the return of our prisoners of war, a ceasefire, and a political process where the South Vietnamese would determine their own future, all parties in South Vietnam. I said, in our early October, October the 8th, there was essentially agreement in principle, a breakthrough in the talks, mentioned Dr. Kissinger in October. Late in October, the North Vietnamese, the October, revealed the fact that there had been such a breakthrough, and not for Kissinger to confirm it. See, that's the way I handled your statement. I said, then after the election, we had further meeting, and the North Vietnamese then proceeded to back away from their earlier agreement principle and impose conditions. And I didn't go into what they said. Without going into the field everything too far, I said they imposed conditions that would make the ceasefire totally unenforceable because, I said, the international supervisory group was so inadequate that no neutral nation, self-respecting nation, could possibly have served upon it. They imposed conditions with regard to the POW thing, which we could not accept without telling them what the condition was, and inserted a number of new things. And I sent our petition to Paris the last time. He was to be there for 3 days. He stayed 10 days. And I said it was clear at the end of 10 days that they were in a stalling pattern and they had no intention of reaching agreement. Under the circumstances, he returned. I said, in the meantime, on October the 8th, when it appeared that we might have a chance to have an agreement in principle and negotiate seriously, I suspended the bombing of North Vietnam above the 20th parallel. When it appeared after Dr. Kissinger's meeting with him in Paris that the that they were installing a pattern, there was no chance that they had backed away from their agreement, I removed suspension and went back to the policy of May 8th. Then, 2 days before the first of the year, they indicated they were ready to have serious talks again. We're ready to have serious talks. I again suspended the bombing north of the 20th parallel. And I said, having done that, now, Dr. Kissinger is going to Paris. We've had technical talks this week. I said, I'm not going to be optimistic. I'm not going to be pessimistic. I'm just going to tell you that there's a chance. I said, I realize most of you in this room, many of you, particularly the Democratic side, disagree. That many of you want us simply to get out and take our prisoners. What we want is peace in here. But what we want is a ceasefire. And I frankly, without saying it there, I used the word bugger on occasion, but I didn't quite attach to it. But I said, the real question now is whether we're going to have a negotiated peace for the entire area, or whether or not the United States is going to throw up its hands with our visitors and simply end our role. I said, next week, we're going to negotiate. We're going to negotiate service. I'm not going to comment upon substance because while it would make big headlines tomorrow, going on television, we can make a lot of points tomorrow, it could well impair or destroy any chances for the negotiation. So I'm not going to comment. And I didn't ask for their support. I simply said, that's your privilege. Now, you see, that's the line, too. Now, that is the line. We know it's the line. But as far as the Congress is concerned, they're doing just what they've done previously. The votes are in the same bank.
That's the best.
They're nothing new.
Yeah, but
we haven't got much outfit working.
But the unconscionable thing is, this year you've been elected by 61%. You're not even inaugurated yet. And you have a negotiation coming up. What has happened to the political morality of this country is absolutely frightening. And that is the scary thing on this. Everything else we can handle, but...
I also listened to her, and I said, there are a lot of things we're going to be consulting with the Congress. We want to consult with you about SALT II. We're going to consult with you about the European Security Conference. We want to consult with you about the problems that are going to arise in the parts of the world. But I'll let you know. Sorry. Forget it. We've done the best we can.
But of course,
whereas there's nothing we can do here except to proceed. But I just think if you'll see those two, I guess they have the only two. But I'm not going to call them if you would.
They have done this preach. They have done it again.
just for expanding. Of course there's a better meaning for it.
Our experience has been that whenever we attack their patriotism, they started running for cover. Right now they got the field. I wouldn't say anything about why we did what we did. I would just feel that somebody ought to say this is an outrage.
I want you to call Colson and talk to him. Because he said, he called me after he talked to you and said you didn't mind the same thing. I said,
I don't want him to say, to explain why we can't.
Then he said, Colson will follow up on anything, but you know, he follows to a letter. So if you feel he wants to go out and attack men on their patriotism, go to it.
That's what I think you should do. I don't think you should explain why you did it. That we do if it succeeds.
All you do with why you did it is the way I did it this morning, where I just said, here's what happened. Tell them the story of America, and then let them draw their own conclusions. Our own people should draw their own conclusions. See, part of our problem here, Henry, is that we got Laird and Brock Rogers muscles. We're not letting them do anything. And that's a good idea because they're both saying the wrong thing.
Well, Laird wants to have a press conference today, but I know. He called again this morning. I am convinced that what Laird wants to do is to position himself separate from us. We keep getting a lot of press inquiries saying they know for a fact that Laird is opposed to it. Was opposed to the department.
Was he?
No, well, yeah, he probably was opposed to it. He never said so.
I didn't say he wrote a letter.
He didn't write a letter.
But he referred to yesterday about some letter he said he
wrote. Oh, he's written you a letter saying that any agreement, no matter how bad, is better than no agreement. And that was a profound insight, but we weren't in a position to get an agreement.
You and I talked about that, what the hell am I doing? How often?
Mr. President, if these cabinet members, in addition, if they had walked in here and said one encouraging thing. But in addition, in top serious, it isn't right for a cabinet member to write you a letter, which he can then pull out later, to cover his ass. It's easy enough if he has any concerns to call me or call you and get it to you.
We don't like that for any member of our cabinet. None of them have got any loyalty.
But Laird has never failed in a grind.
You only have loyalty when it serves their interests, let's face it.
That's right.
They'll step up to a man, but not otherwise.
I think how good you were to Smith yesterday. There's an article in the New York Times saying the shabby treatment you and I gave to Smith is thought by his intimates to have been the chief factor in his resignation. It's all right, but the difference.
Well, we have given him shabby treatment in the sense that we didn't give him as much credit as he wanted because he didn't deserve it.
He didn't do it.
On the other hand, he's done now. I mean, incidentally, we'll remember that he's done.
And you didn't give him shabby treatment. Hell, we gave him a chance to screw up. He had the press totally turned off his own degree.
Look, we're going to have that, Henry, with all the people that leave, ambassadors that leave, State Department people that leave, and others.
Well,
that's part of the cost. That's probably part of the cost. And the thing to do is to take the pain and get it done. Good God, when I get Rogers and Laird out of this thing, I'm going to be a lot better off than I'm in. That's what it's going to want. Let's face it. You would never mind Richardson taking that kind of money that Brett Laird did this morning. Richardson's an honorable man, even though he's a dove.
Yeah, he's a dub, but he'll say it in here. And after you rule against him, he'll do what you tell him. We don't object. You don't object to his opposing you while a decision is being made. If he had a different view, you want to hear it. But he would not let the word get out that he was opposed to it all along. He wouldn't write you a letter. Prior to Cambodia, prior to every decision, a letter came in here from there.
At least I shouldn't write any letters.
No, I just didn't do that.
Well, you know, he's a good lawyer, and he knows goddamn well that a letter is a better record than I am a record. But Laird will be with us if it works, and not with us if it doesn't. That's the way
my instinct is it's going to work.
Yeah.
That's.
Well, I have done it now, I know. Bob, for Christ's sake, get Timmons and Carlos from those people. They've got to work that Congress on a very affirmative basis, and won't be a problem of anything. And not on a negative, you know, defensive basis. That's really the problem. I think that a point there. But I must say, Colson had another idea and impression for me.
Oh, he's right.
He told me, and he said, I said, well, Chuck, I couldn't remember. I said, he told me, he said something. He said, all right, ask him. And he called and said, Henry says, say not. I said, all right. I said, anything. I said, don't do anything that hurts the negotiations. That's my group. I said, we'll take the heat. Chuck said, okay, we can take it. But I'm asking him exactly what we said, so it's not his fault.
No, it isn't. He asked me whether we should give an explanation of why we did it. And I was opposed to that last night. I'm still opposed to it. But
we can't do that.
No. But once I told him that I thought there was a chance, that he said if we could break it next week, then we're better off keeping quiet. I said the odds are good enough for us to play that gamble.
I'll tell you. When I got through them and signed them, that the odds are very good.
But that's good.
So I played it pessimistic, not pessimistic. I just said, I'm not going to be optimistic about it. I said,
much better.
I said, on the other hand, and I said, the policy of no bombing the North will remain as long as the talks are serious, which led to the implication that I would might resume the bombing, too.
I think that's the right thing.
Part of the problem here is we just don't have any fighters on our side.
But of course, we've had this trouble all summer long. These bastards were putting through resolutions in the Congress. Not because you were bombing at that time, but because they thought you were going to succeed. And they wanted to be able to say they got ahead of you.
Now they're putting through resolutions because they think we're going to fail.
Well, they're sure.
And they're playing the risk that we might succeed too, but either way.
They played either way.
Let me say this. You just go ahead. But with Mansfield, I hope you don't have breakfast with him or anything.
I was having breakfast because I was going up to Camp David.
Well, can I just say, make it goddamn brief. He has been unconscionable in this thing.
I have never liked him.
I have already said to Mansfield, they have to take the responsibility. If they want to take the responsibility, they do it. Because I described the resolution of the Democrats as being a bug-out, basically. I said, because what it is, even though we may have to come to it.
I was just going to say.
I separated it by several sentences, so it isn't that I said, you can either do that or you can have peace with honor. I said, peace with honor is what we're trying
to
do.
The reason why I'm more relaxed about these resolutions is that the North Vietnamese like them less for their reasons than they what we are negotiating. Both of us have reasons to feel a democratic resolution, thank God. They both really destroy our political position. I mean, it's a masterful resolution from that point of view.
Hurts both sides.
It hurts both sides. But my instinct is from the, also from the way the Chinese treated this visit of Li Dongto, that they're putting the heat on them.
Incidentally, I saw your memorandum with regard to the silly ass from Uganda. My view is, don't withdraw the ambassador now. He's such an ass. I would pay no attention, but I would do it later. In other words, kick him in the ass later. Why escalate the issue? Of course, it's not mean. It's obviously a terrorist. In the worst kind of world.
All of the call for armed action against
them. I saw that. I just think, how many people gave any attention to his call for armed action? We are withdrawing from that. People have more and people pay attention to it. I just say, forget it. At this point, and later on.
That's an ambassador we plan to replace anyway, so you could recall him when you feel like
a lady.
Yeah.
Good.
And
we can certainly wait until after the negotiations.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, if you want Colson to, you want to call through and bother about who's going to follow through.
Henry, I'll tell him what he wants to do, cover the mountain, Bob.
I'll call Chuck, and maybe he can't be done without doing one. I saw Coldwater last night at the reception for Hay, and he's completely 100% with us. He doesn't feel neglected.
He might be apparently the one exception. I haven't found anybody else. Everybody else is whining early in the morning. I have a problem with everybody. Migrants having a problem. Schultz is down in the mouth. Ship, I think so. Timmons looks as if he's hanging great. You can't do business that way, Bob. You've got to act as if they're winners. Told them, I've got to step up there. I didn't play it defensively this morning. I played it exactly the other way.
They started an offensive in the south, the North Vietnamese, which I like. I mean, that is a pretty good indication that they're preparing to settle. Now, quite seriously, that means they're trying to grab territory. They haven't got that many assets that they can waste them. That's what they did in October. And it may be that one reason they didn't do it, settle in December, say they didn't have their forces in place. The bombing bothers people. It bothers the goddamn intellectuals. What bothers them about
it? It bothers people, but it bothers them the same way that bad weather bothers them. They bother for the reason the sun was shining.
They bother because they want bother for a reason that has, whether it's bombing or anything else, it bothers them for the reason that they thought, well, thank God we're finally ending the end of the war. And they said, oh Christ, it's going on. It wouldn't have made it there. We could have bombed, we could have shelled, we could have sent another battalion of Marines, or a hospital could have been blown up or anything. The point is, it bothered them in the same way that Laos thought. Laos, they all thought, you know, people were thinking things are going pretty well. You know, after the Cambodian thing, casualties went down that fall and everything. All of a sudden, oh shit, here the damn war is going on. We're invading another country. Now, the bombing thing in the minds of people would not have bothered them. Again, had it not been preceded by their hopes being raised. Their hopes were raised not by so much what we said, but by what the press took it and ran with. They took it and ran with it and said, oh, the winds of peace and all that sort of thing. And there were great hopes. Now, when people get their hopes raised, they say, oh, Christ, the war is going on, and they get bothered and so forth. It wasn't the bomb so much as it was the fact that they thought, oh, God damn it, it's the war. Why the hell can we get a war over it? That's what it is, Henry. So, therefore, we won't raise their hopes. We just do our level best. This morning, strangely enough, on CBS News, they said last year 293 people were killed in Vietnam, less that were killed in 1 week in 1968, which was actually, if at all last year, less people were killed in Vietnam than in 1 week in 1968.
We went all the statistical numbers very fine concerned.
So you gotta read on that.
Yeah, and we just do the best we can, Henry. You go over there.
But we've got.
Everything.
We've gone through these phases like the best.
I really want everybody around the damn White House to offer you their books and steal them to their goddamn backbones.
I remember at the time of Cambodia, we had funds. I was so very useful saying with the great foreign policy, the next spring they were again at our throats. And we had a year of a great foreign policy, now they're at our throats again.
Yeah.
If by February 1st we have a settlement, it will go way up again.
The way it's supposed to go.
No president has ever faced, at least not this elected, there is no excuse for the fact the minute the slightest thing goes wrong, the whole bloody establishment. I mean, after all, one theory first, why doesn't McCloy say, now, just a minute, he's the president, he was elected by 61%. Maybe I disagree with his tactics, but what could he have had in mind? Is it right to undermine the authority of a president before he's even taken office? I mean, that's what you got an establishment for. This cheap, tawdry attack.
No, an awful lot of them, Henry, are just fighting. You gotta remember, what irritates the most is that we won with 61%.
Yeah, but you didn't
then
like
their chance to get back. They're frankly, they're just being part of themselves.
But Mr. President, you didn't like
Republicans. Our Republicans are assholes because we haven't had strong enough people leading them. I mean,
But there's a limit of partisanship. You could have gone around in 1960 and claimed fraud. Why didn't you do it? Because you felt that the damage it would do to the body politic wasn't worth it. You could have screamed about the Bay of Pigs with better reason than they had. By far. You didn't do it. There is some limit. You cannot have a democracy.
Well, that's why I want you to be damn tough on Mansfield.
Without some self-restraint.
Mansfield tomorrow going to tell him then that he gets into this or that or the other thing. I believe the impression, for example, with him too, that the POW or withdrawal thing might not work. I believe that with him.
It won't work.
I think you should tell him. Tell him that, sir. I think you should. I had to tell him. You know how you can do it there. You know? Senator, I feel it's my obligation to tell you that that's been offered before, and that they turned it down. I told him.
I'm just afraid of that because we may have to come to it.
I know. Okay, don't tell him.
But
See, that's why.
But I don't like, I have no use for Mansfield. Everyone says he's a saintly person. He certainly never been saintly to us. I don't recall.
I explained the thing out to the hills here because of the damn fact that I have another reason for playing right at the moment, the confirmations. I want the son of a bitch to bring them up and get it over. But on the other hand, once this is over, then on the bipartisan thing, we're going to have them in larger groups. I'm used to seeing Mansfield, so I'll see him about once every 2-3 months.
He's never done us any. I don't recall in foreign policy that he's ever done us any good.
He's never been with us.
Never.
Yeah, come on in. Yeah. Come on, just take down.
The only reason I suggest that is that you pretty clearly, you know, point out the chronology of things as it developed. You know, I would not, you know, read directly from the notes, but I would refer to the point.
All right, why don't you engage in what you'd like to say?
Well, I think several things. First of all, you understand that the differences that do exist. But as you said before, you have to proceed with the policy which you feel is right. That's the first point to make. The second point is that you referred to the progress that we have made in the last 4 years. No, not combat. Third point is the President again repeated the fact that the May 8th policy, which has been announced, is in effect. The May 8th policy was put forth to accomplish three basic things. Release the POWs, DC fire, and the right of the South Vietnamese to turn their own future. And then move right from there into the brief chronology that you gave about the October 8th.
You got it all. They're actually accurate.
On October the 8th, we mined the harbor, high funds, and bombed the nuclear.
On May 8th, we mined the harbor and bombed. On October the 8th, Dr. Kissinger, there was a breakthrough in the talks in Paris.
Right.
Dr. Kissinger, we got told, reached an agreement in principle on these three major objectives.
Yes, sir.
However, there's still some matters to be worked out. But by reason of that progress that had been made, at that time, I suspended the bomb above the front of Paris. And October the 26th, the North Vietnamese publicly announced that such agreement had been reached on those three major issues. You know,
right.
You got that?
It's all, yes, sir.
All right. Dr. Kissinger confirmed that. That's all you say.
Right.
That's his, that, see, that finesses his piece of imagery. He said then, after the election, they backed away from that. They imposed conditions on the POWs. That's a very flimsy one. Don't get into what conditions were, you understand?
Yes,
you understand, this is not to put any conditions or impose conditions with regard to the release of POWs that were unacceptable. They proposed the international super, the ceasefire supervisory group was so flimsy in effect that no self-respecting neutral country could possibly have served upon it. And a number of other dilatory and say dilatory and other conditions were added, new conditions were added, which were not accepted. President sent Dr. Kissinger back to Paris to negotiate again. So he agreed in, he stayed 10 days. clear that they were installing pattern, and during the installing period, there was continuing buildup in North Yukon, an increase in infiltration. So yeah, it was clear that the installing pattern that they were not going to reach agreement. They had backed away from their agreement they had made in October. They backed away from the position they had reached in October, and they were installing a huge turn. And that's why the president removed the suspension of the Navy policy, which he had applied early on. And just over them, 2 days before the first of the year, the RPA committee indicated a willingness to return to Paris and negotiate service. Once that, we received that message from the president, again ordered the suspension of the Navy policy as far as any of the 20th parallel. And that order will remain in effect as long as they continue to negotiate service. If they say wrong, that means that they don't remember, I'm not going to say. I'm not going to tell you that I'm not going to be optimistic, I'm not going to be pessimistic. I can only say there's a chance to accomplish our goal of peace and honor and end the war. I mean, to end the killing and so forth, not just an American withdrawal for our prisoners, which would lead the war going on, and not have a, killing continue.
I think you're in there, where you point out very clearly, men of goodwill will disagree on this subject, but also men in this country want peace, and nobody wants it more than I do, but I believe that we can achieve it.
But I believe that the kind of peace, the negotiated peace, some that I have laid out, which will bring real peace, rather than the United States simply throwing out its hands and getting out and letting the war go on, that is the best interest, the peace that we see.
Well,
I must say that some of our people get a little backbone around here.
Go ahead. There's a New York Times story this morning, which said that we had not received any previous invitation from North Vietnamese. And, you know, they were going to talk seriously. I will enjoy saying that. You know, quoting you as saying, we received word from the North Vietnamese that they were prepared to return to the table and enter in the same.
They said that, what did they say we received?
No, they said that they implied that we received a message that they were willing to return to the talks. See, what the thrust was that we stopped the bombing because they returned to the talks. But what we're saying here is that we did receive word
that they were willing to talk seriously.
Whether or not they will, I don't remain to be seen when we
can see. We're prepared to talk seriously. They told us, they have told us that they are prepared to talk seriously.
Right, that's the key.
They told us that they are prepared to talk seriously. And if that is the case, the suspension remains effective.
And I think the section, and I'll paraphrase this, but the section should refer to the fact that it would not serve the national interest, it would not be in the national interest to discuss the substance of the negotiations.
Yeah, at this time, you say, I hate to use it, I could go on television and make a statement with regard to the substance of these talks, but the outstanding issues, but it would not serve the goal that we see of a negotiated settlement to discuss the substance of the talks. I will, however, as developments occur, Congress, of course, will be informed and consulted as developments occur in the talks. You may recall I said that.
Yes, sir. Now, on the Joe Craft article this morning, this is the one final thing, that referred to the fact that, you see that, referred to the fact that oppose the bombing. If I'm asked that, I'm going to consider that as having been opposed.
Right. That's the line there. Oh, you know, speaking of the rest.
But what I'm going to say is simply, I'm going to shoot it down in the hardest terms, and I'm going to say that I was around Kissinger during that period, and I was around the discussion that occurred, and there is absolutely no validity to that. Henry Kissinger. Henry Kissinger, I think they have it. He's shooting it down too.
Are you sure?
Well, he says he is, so I think he is. I'm going to say that Henry Kissinger supported the May policy.
He supported the May policy, which unanimously supported by everyone.
Right.
Not only unsupported, but recommended. I put that on the support of the recommended.
And every action taken from
it. Every action taken since then. Not only supported, but recommended.
Anyone who says otherwise is not informed.
They all know that Henry talks to crap. That's the problem.
No, that's all. This is curious. And then at 2 o'clock, we will do our report. I thought this presentation was very clear this morning on that. Very well. So you can basically the same thing before.
I don't think I'm going to bother with it. I don't want to press the picture. These assholes are coming in here today if you don't mind. Just have all the take pictures because that will take away from John's presentation. See what I mean?
I don't mind. The pictures you'll use today would be the congressional leadership meeting.
Oh, hell yes. No, I don't have it. That's already, you know. And the point is, too, if you come in here and it takes 5 minutes on everything, you know, Jackass is sitting here and I said to those assholes, let not let us snap a picture in each case.
It's not required.
That's good. That'll save us time. I've got these meetings all coming on.
Okay. One final point. I have a good pool put together for the night of tonight, so I don't take time to deliver. We began to call around. They appreciated very much their wives coming, but I got a little, you know, off on it, so I thought we would do it in the future, so we won't have their wives. Well, I have a good group of
that you want to have.
keep runs the current, but I haven't seen the crowd, the crowd thing this morning, I guess, to be said there. Oh, I saw that one. Russian, yeah, same thing. I will say on this issue that I was in total agreement.